Rock the Lakefront June 13th and 14th as Racine Harbor Fest returns for two unforgettable days of live music, mouthwatering food, and nonstop fun. Advance tickets $8, VIP tickets still available online at racineharborfest.com.
Students to identify threats, including possible connections to Hamas or other terrorist groups.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to ban 8 food dyes found in things like cereal and sports drinks.
I was talking with my staff about these petroleum-based dyes, and I said, if they want to add petroleum, they want to eat petroleum, they ought to add it themselves at home.
Who will succeed Pope Francis? CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
Pope Francis really tried to elevate cardinals from different parts of the world, unknown church leaders, and part of that is not knowing how they might vote. So that is the wild card.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Will there ever be a sequel to The Big Lebowski? If Jeff Bridges and Julianne Moore had their say, it would be absolutely. Unfortunately, it is the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan, who seem against the idea. The Coen brothers have not made a sequel to any of their work, although Bridges said they do tend to surprise people sometimes. In addition to no sequels, the brothers also have not made a film together since 2018's The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. When he's not trying to sell you his own products like Aviation Gin or Mint, Ryan Reynolds actually makes films. He starred opposite Hugh Jackman in 2024's Deadpool and Wolverine. Recently, Jackman took a good-natured swipe at his pal Reynolds by telling a crowd at Radio City Music Hall that Jackman was curiously left out of a dance scene in the film. Don't worry, there is no awkwardness. Jackman did assure everyone in the crowd they are bros for life. Thank goodness for that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game three of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. You're timing good, fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies. Light northwest winds developing in the overnight as lows drop to the mid-40s. We'll see shower and thunderstorm chances on the increase for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds turning to the southeast as our highs top out in the upper 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4, and Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning, folks. Whether you're up with the roosters or still easing into the day, I'm so glad that you're making the Midwest Farmer Report a part of your morning. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Charity Seebecker, and here at the Midwest Farmer Report, we work hard to connect the dots on what's happening in agriculture. And today, for example, we're diving into a few stories that really show the heart and evolution of the industry. We'll start by celebrating a true meat industry legend, the newest 2025 inductee into the Wisconsin Meat Processor Hall of Fame, Dan Sutherland. From humble beginnings to decades of dedication, you won't want to miss this story of craftsmanship and commitment. Then we're turning our attention to dairy country. We'll explore one of the many ways dairy farmers are prioritizing animal welfare, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because healthy cows means healthy farms and quality products. Plus, we'll break down what's new in the custom operator survey and what it means for farmers who rely on these vital services during planting and harvest seasons. So grab your coffee, settle in, and join us for another informative and engaging morning here on the Midwest Farm Report.
At Newfields Ag, they know that when your corn crop needs a nitrogen boost, time is of the essence. That's why they developed N-Bolster, a powerful planter-applied nitrogen-fixing solution designed to strengthen your corn's performance all season long. N-Bolster delivers essential nutrients out of the gate, enhancing photosynthesis, improving plant resilience, and boosting growth, right when your crop needs it most. Whether you're facing a mid-season slump or just want to maximize yields, N-Bolster helps your crop stay strong all season long. Learn more at NewfieldsAg.com. N-Bolster, innovations in your field.
Today, I'm sharing with you a little perspective on Wisconsin's deep heritage in the meat processing industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yockey. During this year's Wisconsin Association of Meat Processing's annual convention in Middleton, they inducted two industry leaders into their 2025 Meat Industry Hall of Fame. That included Fritz Usinger, president of Fred Usinger Incorporated, a 144-year-old family-run meat processing company in Milwaukee, and also Dan Sutherland, who joined Johnsonville in 1982 as head of sow procurement. Through the course of his career, he had multiple roles with Johnsonville, from plant management to sales, meat purchasing to rendering, and even involvement in the foreign markets. I sat down with Dan Sutherland and asked him to explain to me how he got started in the meat processing industry and what made him commit his career to it.
Well, I'm a suburban kid. I was born in Milwaukee. Age 2, we moved to Brookfield. But I was third generation in the Milwaukee stockyards. My grandfather started Badger Livestock, which was a commission firm that sold cattle for the farmers, and my dad eventually started an order buying firm in the Milwaukee stockyards.
People would have a hard time believing that there was a stockyards, and quite literally it was in Milwaukee. Different time. Tell me a little bit about that facility.
Oh, that facility had a lot of charm, at least to me. You had distinct, what they refer to as alleys, mm-hmm. where they sold calves in one spot, mm-hmm. calves and sheep, I should say. They sold cattle in another area and hogs in another area. Mm-hmm. You had distinct unloading chutes for two of the four species, and you all had your own alley, your own scales, and it was the old way of doing business, where you had a representative representing the farmer when the animals came in to sell them, and then I was on the buy side, and I bought from those commission firms.
Now, who taught you how to buy, how to evaluate livestock? Because you're doing it on the fly.
Right. Well, I wanted to be a cattle buyer. My grandpa was in the cattle side of the business. My dad was in the cattle side of the business. But when I came down, my dad had a firm, and I went to work for him, and he said he never understood the hog business. The gentleman that was running the hog side, who was a minority partner of my dad's, taught me the hog business. Eventually, my father passed away within a year after I was there, and I never really met my dream to get in the cattle side, but this gentleman taught me the hog business, and I went from there.
Boy, oh boy, I just imagine the volume of livestock at that time that was coming through on a given day. I mean, now we're lucky if we can scratch together enough cattle to have a full sale day.
Yeah, that's for sure. I remember Mondays in Milwaukee were 2,000 cattle, 2,000 calves, 500 sheep, and 700 hogs. That was your Monday, your big day. And through the week, the runs were down, but you still had over 1,000 cattle up until Friday. Friday was a slow day for everything, and calves and everything else. It was amazing the amount of livestock that came in.
How many guys were you brushing elbows with competing to try to buy?
Well, in Hog Alley, not as many because it had consolidated and people had moved out of town. But in the cattle, on the cattle side, there was probably 8 to 10 buyers out in the cattle alley.
I'm trying to help people understand, Dan. It is a competitive business, of course, but there's also camaraderie. That's part of why I come to Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors. Yes, perhaps competitors, but you guys have a certain sense of camaraderie, too.
There's no question about it. And again, I'll witness it more in the cattle alley where there's historic stories about people getting in altercations in the yards, and at night, you see them in the bar with their arms around each other. You know, it was a very, very interesting industry.
Tell me a little bit about the livestock that you saw. Not the volume, but the quality. I was mentioning to Dan when I was a kid, the hog you sold looks a whole lot different than it does today. Give me a little sense of how you, as a buyer, had to change your eye a little bit going through the course of your career.
Yeah, genetics changed dramatically in the years that I was involved in the hog business. That hog was didn't have the conformation it has today. Mm-hmm. It was a much fatter hog. We had some genetics out there that unfortunately were pretty hyper and were really good on their feet and or were thrown to stress. So the good part is that those items were bred out of those hogs, but that hog got a heck of a lot leaner, and it probably hurt the hog industry and helped the cattle industry, the changes through the years, making animals leaner. But that's the most dramatic is with the hogs. Again, you had a leaner hog, but you also had a healthier hog and a hog that was better on its feet. And from an animal welfare perspective, it was huge improvements.
Yeah, right. Dan Sutherland, along with us, one of the 2025 Hall of Fame inductees into the Wisconsin Association of Meat Processors Hall of Fame. So let's go to the industry side of things. You said you started kind of in your dad's firm, came up the ranks, so to speak, learned the traits as you were doing. And then what?
I was in the yards for about 10 years, and the hog business had changed radically. Oscar Meyer had pulled out of Madison, a major account. A number of people, all was left really was Patrick Cuddy. Hillshire had quit up in New London. Jones Dairy Farm was still there, but names that people wanted to know, like Wolf River, Stoppenbach, things like that. They no longer they harvest hogs. So the receipts were down, and that business was such, I did start to buy a few cattle, but lo and behold, and I worked the equity barns and Midwest barns, whatever. All of a sudden a man came, and I'll refer to him as a headhunter, an employment agency, and asked me if I was interested in interviewing for a job. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I've never interviewed for a job in my life. I thought it'd be a good experience. Well, this little firm was named Johnsonville, and in 1982 I made a decision to go to Johnsonville to head up their procurement program.
No, and that, again, talking about procurement, you're going from seeing one style, one set volume on a day, and then to this pretty, I would guess, kind of a more narrow-focused job for you, Dan?
Absolutely. We were strictly sow purchasers and of a certain type and quality of sow. Weight was an issue. You wanted a sow, not a gilt. So it had some interesting parameters. And we also, when I started, we had just got back into the harvest business. And though today Johnsonville has 5 plants and is, when I left, in fact, was the biggest sow harvester probably in the world, we would catch people during our slow times maybe punching out at 10 hours because they could get full unemployment. Yes. So I saw a huge, huge change in their business, as well as the industry changing.
Now, help people understand, Dan, why Johnsonville would put such an emphasis on purchasing sows when we think about their product makeup, et cetera.
Because it makes the best sausage. Sows make the best sausage. And we wanted a certain type of sow with a certain fat percent. because our customer was the harvest floor, whose customer was the boning line, whose customer was the processing. We looked at that, and we wanted to narrow the range of those animals as well as we could to what the desired fat percentage was at the end,
mm-hmm.
and speak to the quality that Johnsonville sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we had a narrow range of what we were doing.
Such a household name today. Was it that way when you kind of came into the firm?
No, I would estimate we were in Wisconsin, Indiana, and maybe a little Illinois. Hmm. When I left, we were all 50 states and 30 countries. And dramatic difference.
No, we talk about securing sows as the primary. And again, I just have to point to the way the industry's changed. By the time that you were getting to be kind of a senior looking at that as your goal, how hard was it?
It had ebbed and flowed. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of competition out there. And in some ways, it was a bit easier because a number of competitors had decided to get out of that business.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of seasonality in the sausage business. So certain times of year was very, very difficult.
Hmm.
When the Jimmy Deans and that of the world were in their sausage, their busy times, and their busy times would be Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, where Johnsonville's was Memorial Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, and Super Bowl of all things.
Mm-hmm.
So we had counter seasons, but they run into each other.
Now, that's one element of the meat processing industry I had not thought about, cyclical consumption and what companies try to capitalize on what holidays. Dan Sutherland sharing the story with us, a 2025 Wisconsin Meat Industry Hall of Fame inductee. He also noted as his legacy, one of the greatest joys he has today, watching some of the young people that he mentored in the Wisconsin meat processing industry gain leadership. He pointed to the current president of Tyson Foods as one of his mentees. We'll have Fritz Usinger as our guest sometime in the future. You can always find more at MidwestFarmReport.com. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Chef Jeff Grunder with a dinner tip you won't want to miss. The Machine Shed's Parmesan-crusted America's Cut. It's seriously amazing. We start with a juicy grilled pork loin and top it with a Parmesan crust made from real butter, roasted garlic, grated Parmesan, parsley, cracked peppercorn, and toasted breadcrumbs. We bake it to a golden brown and drizzle with white wine sauce. It's a game changer. Trust me. Head to the Shed tonight. I-94 and Highway 164, Pewaukee.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when in fact the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, doctor. The advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know that as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Just for fair disclosure, me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. The bottom line, as I know, and you should know too, you can be raised by a single mom and still not be a jackass.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn,
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around, we'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Hey, meteorologist Stu Muck. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. So, Stu, what does Mother Nature have up her sleeve for us?
Unfortunately, Charity, a little bit more of that rain. You know, not enough to flood us out or anything, but some more rainfall certainly is part of the play here today. Low pressure is still trying to build in from the west, a warm front lifting right up into Wisconsin this morning. Right near that front, there are showers and thunderstorms north central into northeast Iowa, northern parts of Illinois as well. Rain around Rockford already. That activity will be pushing east and northeast. So southern Wisconsin, more likely going to talk about some showers and maybe thunderstorms today. There's a little lighter rain further off to the north, and some of that's near Eau Claire and pushing eastward in the northern part of Wisconsin. Not going to be as heavy. Trace amounts of rain, maybe a tenth of an inch. Could be pushing closer to a couple of tenths of an inch in the south, but we are going to have some rain today as a warm front lifts right up through the state. South winds help to bring more mild air in. That means those temperatures more mild today, pushing back to the above normal levels, sounding a bit more comfortable, yes, but we have that bit of rain in the picture, so that's going to keep things on the damp side yet. Through today and into tonight, the rain should end tonight from west to east, even late today in the far northwest part of the state. And there's a better chance that we do stay dry for a time into Thursday. That all sounds well and good, giving us a positive look. But a cool front will swing through from the west, and we should expect Thursday night and into Friday that showers develop. And there could be some isolated storm possibility. I wouldn't expect anything severe, but there may be a little more rain to wrap up our week. So as we look toward Friday, oh, up to a quarter inch. Some areas may see up to a half inch. That could be more in eastern Wisconsin, but it does appear more rain just as we make our way through Friday. We will dry it out somewhat for the weekend. There's some better news. It won't be quite so mild. Temperatures cooling a little bit as we head towards Saturday. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Of the grain crops, wheat and barley are two of the most sensitive to copper deficiencies. Badge SC from Gowan USA is effective for overcoming copper deficiencies while providing broad-spectrum disease protection. Badge SC can be applied from the end of dormancy through boot and tank mix with many herbicides, fertilizers, or fungicides. When it comes to improving the yield and quality of your wheat and barley, Badge SC has you covered. Ask your ag retailer about Badge SC, America's number one selling liquid copper brand. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Company.
Keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All righty, Stu, let's hear our weather forecast.
All right, let's talk about more mostly cloudy skies, of course, in store today. Showers develop, could be a thunderstorm. That'll be this morning, especially in southern Wisconsin. Light rain further north today as well. Temperatures a little cooler. There may be upper 50s in the north. Could be pushing the mid-60s south as winds become south then later on today. Only about 5 to 10, not a windy day in store. Showers or even a thunderstorm lasting tonight. Mostly cloudy. The rain ends later on. I'd expect low 40s in the north, could be a 50 or so in the south as winds become pretty calm. Thursday, a little break, partly sunny skies, and we find our way up into the upper 50s and even a mid-60 in the south, but rain developing again for later in the day, and those winds out of the east about 5 to 10. Rain more likely Thursday night into the day Friday. Friday's temps cooling down, lower 50s, maybe upper 50s in the south, the best we can hope for, and north winds and Charity about 5 to 15. The rain on Friday could push that quarter inch, maybe a half inch here or there, but we will finally dry out a little bit as we head towards Saturday. So cross your fingers for better news.
Yeah, so it sounds like Pam and maybe anybody else that's headed to Green Bay for the draft at the end of this week better make sure they pack extra clothes in case they get wet or that umbrella, right?
Yeah, be ready for some scattered showers, even in Green Bay for the draft. Unfortunately, Mother Nature wants to be there.
Well, as we know, Wisconsinites, they'll have just as much fun as normal. Once again, everybody, that was Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, with our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner, committed to agriculture and rural America. Be sure to let us know what questions you might have that you want to help get answers to by messaging us on our talk text line at 877-301-FARM. Stick around, as you never...
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond, 540 WAUK.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. A parade of well-known brands and CEOs lavished a post-election tribute of $239 million to the Trump-Vance Inaugural Committee, according to a new filing with the Federal Election Commission. What was it used for? Voters will likely never know. Let's start with the $5 million donation by Pilgrim's Pride, one of the world's largest meat processors and a subsidiary of a Brazilian company. Cryptocurrency Ripple gave almost $4.9 million, followed by billionaire investment banker Warren Stevens. Stevens' contribution to the inaugural and another $4 million to two Trump super PACs likely earned him the nomination to be ambassador to the UK. In the latest FEC report, 61 donors gave $1 million or more. Manufacturers included Toyota, Tyson, Boeing, and NVIDIA. Unsurprisingly, fossil fuel companies like Occidental, ExxonMobil, and Chevron were on the list, as were pharmaceutical companies Merck, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and Trade Association Pharma. McDonald's, Target, Verizon, Comcast, and Amazon each gave $1 million as well. What do donors get for their money? Apple CEO Tim Cook, who donated $1 million, got a tariff exemption for Apple's Chinese-made products. And where does that money go? Federal law does not require disclosure of expenses for inaugural committees. See the list of donors at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch The Todd Albaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Dozens of foreign students attending universities nationwide are suing to stop their visas from being revoked as the Trump administration terminates their records in an online database. CBS's Nicole Skenga.
Keep in mind, all of this is playing out as the State Department has said it's using AI to comb over social media foreign students to identify threats, including possible connections to Hamas or other terrorist groups.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to ban 8 food dyes found in things like cereal and sports drinks.
I was talking with my staff about these petroleum-based dyes, and I said if they want to add petroleum, they want to eat petroleum, they ought to add it themselves at home.
Who will succeed Pope Francis? CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
Pope Francis really tried to elevate cardinals from different parts of the world, unknown church leaders, and part of that is not knowing how they might vote. So that is the wild card.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. I identify with that film in which there is an implicit reference to St. Francis. Those are the words of Pope Francis, who passed away last Monday at the age of 88. The Pope was referring to the film La Strada by Federico Fellini, which was his favorite. As it turns out, he was quite the cinema buff. The Pope said in an interview about 10 years ago he was always a fan of movies dating back to his childhood in South America, adding that he owes his love for the big screen to his parents for taking him to the theater at an early age. Pope Francis said he identified with the teachings of St. Francis of Assisi due to the themes of love and suffering. Probably no surprise, that was the inspiration for his chosen papal name. Video game adaptations are alive and well, and it seems they will be with us for a long time, or until they run out of video games to adapt. Universal Studios is jumping into said world and teaming up with director Michael Bay and producer Sydney Sweeney to bring OutRun to the big screen. There is no cast attached yet, as the project is in the early stages of development. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks lose again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Pacers in Indianapolis. The final 123-115 in favor of the Pacers. Indy dominated the game throughout. Bucks only pulling to within 5 points with just a few minutes left in the fourth quarter. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 34 points. Damian Lillard, in his first game back, played 37 minutes, scored 14 points. Game three of the series, Friday night in Milwaukee at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. The Pacers now lead the best-of-seven series, 2 games to nothing. Baseball, Brewers and Giants playing tonight in San Francisco. NFL, the draft coming up in Green Bay on Thursday night. I asked Brian Gutekunst about a former first-round draft pick, Lucas Van Ness, and what does he expect from him this year at defensive end?
Yeah, we have high expectations for Lucas. We always kind of have. Obviously, we took him very early, but we're very excited where he is on his developmental path and expect big things from him this year. So certainly, if we're going to get to where we want to go to, he's going to be a big part of that.
That's Packers GM Brian Gutekunst with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome three filmmakers from the Milwaukee Film Festival. Toby Jones and Ben Hansen join the show to talk about their film, AJ Goes to the Dog Park, and Mark Evans talks about his film, The Diamond King.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies. Light northwest winds developing in the overnight as lows drop to the mid-40s. We'll see shower and thunderstorm chances on the increase for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy skies. Winds turning to the southeast as our highs top out in the upper 50s. Currently 46 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans.
Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're saying, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And wow. Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on waukradio.com/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
The Washingtons or the Rams.
Charity Seebecker, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday morning. Let's take a quick trip down memory lane. On this day, April 23rd, back in 1849, Wisconsin's first state agricultural society was formed, laying the groundwork for what would become a proud legacy of farming innovation across the state. And you've probably heard the saying, happy cows make happy farmers. Well, it's true. Today, we're looking at how dairy farmers are stepping up cow comfort in some pretty high-tech ways, including waterbeds. Farm team member Stephanie Hoff has the details.
Dairy farmers take cow comfort to the next level because they know that if they take care of the cows take care of them. Today, we're exploring one of the many ways dairy farmers prioritize animal welfare. Nick Knoppen is a sales manager for BioRet. He says on many farms, the cows actually sleep comfier than their farmers do, thanks to animal welfare technology. Nick essentially sells waterbeds for dairy cattle.
Yep, I liken it back to, like, we used to have the water beds back in, I think it was the 70s and 80s, where everybody liked to sleep on them. And so what we're doing is we're trying to mimic that comfort for our cows and give them a nice, reliable, comfortable space to lay down in, but also have firm footing to get in and out of the bed so it's easy for them to access.
Why do cows like it? Why do they like having a mattress, so to speak?
What we did with ours is we actually have foam underneath the waterbed, so it's not just water on concrete. So we're maximizing the comfort there. But then when that cow is laying down, we have a single, like, chamber that they sit on or lay on, and that actually allows that cow to float, and it kind of gives them that maximized comfort when they're laying down. And the other aspect, too, is it provides a cool bed. So in the hot days of summer, that water will actually take heat away from the cow, so not only is it comfortable to lie in, but it also cools them while they're laying down in the bed.
You know, a long-standing joke with waterbeds growing up was, you don't pop it, right? But I don't think you can pop these.
No, so we use all virgin high-grade rubber, and then we actually have an inlay that goes in the rubber that I liken to, it's a double-woven inlay, but I liken it to like a Kevlar that you'll see on it. So it's built so that there's no way that, unless you're taking like a skid steer and hit it directly, a cow will never pop that waterbed. So even though they weigh 1,400, 1,500 pounds, that weight will never break that rubber.
Is it normal to install these types of mattresses in every stall?
So we're starting to see universally it'll be throughout the whole barn. Because again, the goal is we want to bring comfort to every cow in that barn, as well as the cooling aspect of the water beds. You're trying to give that cow the maximal time to lay down and make milk.
And does it work? I mean, we talk a lot about cow comfort and how it's increasing production. Do you have a success story you can share for us? Maybe it's someone a customer you've run in today at the farm show.
Yeah, so generally we're going to see anywhere, and again, it's on a farm-by-farm basis from what they were using before, but we see like 2 to 3 pounds in milk production increase. But the biggest thing we focus on is we don't see like hock lesions or any of the stuff you used to see in the old-style beds. So we're more focused on joint health, skin health, and trying to keep that cow dry, and also udder health, because the beds are designed to wick moisture and manure and urine that would leak out away from them. So just the overall health of the cow, as well as you'd like to see some sort of a milk production bump.
Are these slippery?
No, so they are designed, you'll see there's grooving in them, but the grooves are designed when that cow hoof presses down, it'll separate, and they're designed in space specifically to catch that hoof so that cow is sure-footed no matter where she's stepping on the bed.
Anything else that I should be asking you about cow comfort today that we didn't talk about?
The only other thing that we've kind of have a specific design for that's different is we actually have, instead of like a firm knee board or a firm like concrete brisket board, we also use a water pillow that we use for that. So it's designed to keep the cow's back, but not have a hard surface for that cow to hit when she's lunging forward. And it will also give those larger cows a little more room because they can press against it to lay down and still get comfortably in that stall. We're trying to make it as comfortable as your bed at home.
They think of everything. That's Nick Knoppen, sales manager for BioRet. Another example of how dairy farmers make cow comfort a priority.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now it's time to catch up with our friends at Steffes Group. Take it away, Pam.
It's Wednesday. That means it's time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's steffesgroup.com, and that is the website that you want to go to. Steffesgroup.com has a complete listing of all the upcoming auctions. It'll also give you a real nice set of benchmarks if you're looking at a particular piece of equipment that you might want to buy, and it gives you a little sense of what it's like to work with the good folks at the Steffes Group. And, of course, they always encourage you to give them a call. 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. We've been visiting with Randy Kath for the past couple of weeks. Ashley Yoon back on task with us for a quick update. So we were talking earlier, Ashley, about everybody gets a little anxious. I saw a couple guys, as weather allowed, doing a little recreational tilling, I call it, you know, down in the low ground, trying to get things dried out. You are saying that some of your most aggressive markets right now are in Canada. Explain.
Yeah, so, you know, it works its way from south to north. So a couple weeks ago, I was doing a big appraisal in central Illinois. Of course, had it not rained an inch the night before, he would have been in the field that next day. You know, fast forward to where we are today, we're starting to taper off with equipment auctions, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, because everyone's going to be hitting the field, but you know, Canada's not so fortunate as far as weather goes, so they've still got a lot of auctions here to conduct in the next 2 weeks.
Hey, not to drag you into the news world, but have you had any conversations? Is there any angst in Canada about all this tariff business that's being discussed? Wouldn't that impact some of the stuff that Steffes is working with?
Yeah, it is. So far, it hasn't really affected the used equipment stuff, but you know, when the tariffs were about to go on, there were some people that had stuff bought down here that actually couldn't get trucking fast enough, so they drove it home across the border. So a little bit of that stuff, but really it's just affecting the new equipment right now. And, you know, we've had some live auctions up there and been really pleased with the amount of people that came out just because they wanted to get to a gathering and yeah, things like that, because they were locked down so much longer than we were.
Yeah, right. Interesting. Well, like we said, it's just a little perspective, folks, to keep you relaxed, if you will. If you're not yet in the field, just think about the folks to the north. So what do you got coming up here then, Ashley, as far as auctions we might want to train our eye on?
Yeah, there's a really unique auction in Grant, Wisconsin on the 29th. Not your average, just lots of late model equipment, but some unique stuff that people will be looking at that doesn't get sold very often. So he's got two 2024 389 Peterbilts, black extended hood set up the way you want them, and two matching black hopper bottoms to go with it. So if you're concerned of how you look at the elevator, that would be something to look at for sure. And just a bunch of support equipment to go with it. He's got a 22 model JNMC tender, a 22 model 1596 Avalanche grain cart, and the stuff is absolutely eat off the floor perfect.
Wow. Interesting. And like you said, let's stop and think about all the grain we hope to be bringing to the elevator this fall. You might as well have the creature comforts around you and be able to rely on it, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, check it out. There's just a lot of stuff on that auction, like I said. Buying anything off that farm, you won't be disappointed.
Excellent. Now, is this also a good time, Ashley? I know that people are going to get busy with spring planting as you know, time allows, weather allows. Is this still a good time, though, to be asking the questions, doing their research, if they are thinking about even a partial auction or something like that in the future, give them a little sense. What kind of research should I be doing? You're a guy that really encourages farmers to think it through before they get involved in any contracts.
Yeah, we really do. So, I mean, if you missed this spring opportunity and there was probably something you wanted to sell, or maybe you bought something and didn't sell the replacement yet, June is going to be a very busy time. And then, you know, the middle of summer, that kind of tapers off. Last 2 weeks of August, it'll start busy again. And the first 15 days of September, again, is another market you want to. But people always ask, when's the best time to sell? On average, within a calendar year, fourth quarter has always been the best. But, you know, there's a cost to carry the money as well. So there's lots of things to think about, interest. You name it.
You know, the other thing that I don't want to bring up, Ashley, the fact that you guys do farm appraisals. If you're trying to get a handle on things, if you're having some challenging conversations within the family about who's right on this value, you guys are prepared and equipped to come out there and really give fair market appraisals on what's going on in today's time, right?
Yeah. So, for instance, our office does hundreds of paid appraisals a year. We're doing them constantly and for lots of different reasons. You know, we have some banks that want us to work with all their clients to borrow money. And so we'll do an initial and then we'll do follow-ups every 3 years. It's just common practice in different areas. But to your point, if people are splitting up stuff and don't want to sell it necessarily but want to retain ownership within a group or within a family, we can help with that.
Just another service that I like to bring up from time to time so that you realize what kind of pros you're dealing with when it comes to the Steffes Group. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. Again, that website, fantastic resources, steffesgroup.com. That's steffesgroup.com. Or pick up the phone and give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group. It's still sinking in. All the medals that Bavaria Sausage brought home from the German Butchers Association competition. Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, says they walked away with 49 medals, 30 that were gold, and all the products they submitted, something you can purchase today.
You know, we picked products right out of the freezer, right out of the deli case, right out of our coolers, and that's what we brought. We did not do a special batch of any of this. We didn't know, but we had a feeling that we'd do pretty well with the Germans on this one.
That's Scott Stoll, one of the owners of Bavaria Sausage, capturing 49 medals at the recent German Butcher Association Meat Products Competition, recognizing the quality that started more than 60 years ago with Fred Vohl. Bavaria Sausage, shop those award-winning meats today at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitch Rotor Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, or always open online. BavariaSausage.com.
Welcome back. I'm Charity Seebecker. Happy to be with you on this Wednesday morning. I hope your week is off to a great start. Taking a look at our morning markets from Chicago, cash corn is trading at 474 and a quarter, down 1.5 cents. New crop corn is trading at 457 and three quarters, down a quarter. Cash soybeans are trading at 1040 and three quarters, up 5 3/4. And new crop beans are trading at 1030 and a quarter, up 3 3/4. And July wheat is trading at 550, down a quarter. Looking at our dairy markets now, May Class 3 milk contract is trading at 1842 a hundredweight. That is up 5 cents. And June milk is trading at 1735, up 7 cents. Barrel cheese closed yesterday at 181, up a quarter. 40-pound block cheese had no change and closed at 177 and a half. And the AA butter closed up a quarter and closed at 232 and a quarter. Stick around with me as we have more news on the way.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, doctor, the advantage of being a high school dropout is what you don't have. Like, you don't get it.
Derek Van Orden wants you to know that as a kid, he was on food stamps. He was raised by a single mom. Just for fair disclosure, me too. Attacking and belittling a witness, using your personal story to somehow justify it, it doesn't make you right. The bottom line, as I know, and you should know too, you can be raised by a single mom and still not be a jackass.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Farm Rescue makes sure that you aren't alone. They're there to extend the hand and to take the burden.
Even the most independent farmers need help sometimes, and asking for that help is protecting the future. Farm Rescue provides equipment and volunteers free of charge to assist in times of crisis. We're currently accepting applications for planting and haying assistance. If you or someone you know could use our help, call 701-252-2017 or visit farmrescue.org.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time at our new time slot, 2 until 4. And Matt Solomon from Cracked.com talking about SNL at 50. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Village. Hauling manure or chopping silage, these services are all essential for many farms, especially as equipment costs continue to rise. But how much should you be expecting to pay or even charge for these services? That's where the custom rate survey comes in. It gives a snapshot of the going rates for common farm services here in Wisconsin. Whether you're a farmer hiring help, or a custom operator offering your equipment and your time. This survey offers valuable insight to help guide your decisions. Brian Luck, University Extension Ag Engineer, joins Pam Yonke and says the team built the survey based on previous versions, but they've added new items that they believe will be useful to today's farmers and custom operators.
We have done that in the past. Since I've been here, I got here in 2014 or so, we've worked with the Wisconsin/National Ag Statistics Service to conduct the custom rate survey in Wisconsin. Been a great relationship along the way. We've worked well with them. No complaints there. I will just have to admit to you that the cost got exorbitant. We weren't able to afford it. We didn't have any grant funding to support this, and we still wanted to prioritize it. So we looked around the country, and there's some other states that do this, and they kind of do it differently. What they do is in-house. They sort of make the survey themselves, administer that survey to different groups across the state, Iowa being a good example, and then do the statistical analysis, and that's something we can do here. So a little less expensive to do it that way, and we're kind of building. This is our first year to try it. We're going to try to build our sort of database and our folks that are able to get the survey and take it as we move forward.
You got a couple different disciplines that are cooperating on campus too to reach out to many different groups.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're coordinating with Dr. Paul Mitchell over in Ag and Applied Economics. We're working on, I'm involved with Biological Systems Engineering, and then we have an individual from the Division of Extension helping us out as well. So it's kind of a group effort here, and we're trying to put together a nice survey that'll provide good data for Wisconsin farmers and custom operators.
Well, and we do have a lot of different custom operators, Brian, in the state of Wisconsin, ranging from manure applicators right on through to the people that are going to plant or harvest for you. Give me a little sense on questions that are going to be asked, groups that are already being approached.
As far as I can tell, all of that is in the survey. So we have a section on planting. We have a section on tillage, manure application, harvest in both silage and grain,
yep.
Et cetera. We're doing trucking fees, et cetera. So we did our best to sort of work off of the survey we had before with an Ag Statistics Service, but we've added a few extra little things that we're kind of interested in as well in there. We're also currently taking feedback, so I don't want to blow up anybody's email address, but if you get a hold of this survey and you see something glaring in there that's not present, please let us know, because we're able to adjust this and make it, tailor it for folks in Wisconsin, which is exactly what we want to do.
Once again, that's Brian Luck, University Extension Ag Engineer, along with us. Your input helps paint a clearer picture of custom work trends and rates across Wisconsin. You can find the survey link on our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. Whether you do a little or a lot, taking just a few minutes to fill that out makes a big difference. And if you heard something today that you want to dive deeper into or catch the full conversation, head over to our website and download our podcast. Thank you again for spending your Wednesday with me here on the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Charity Seebecker. Have a great day, everybody.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
A little history on the controversy over genetic modification today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Tractor rollovers are one of the most common causes of farm deaths and injuries. One simple device helps reduce the danger significantly, a rollover protective structure. Standard on most new tractors, but they're also available to add to many older tractor models. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Yesterday, you met Nobel Prize-winning scientist Sir Richard Roberts from England, who recently spoke in Canada on the subject of genetic modification. Roberts first got involved in the GM discussion at a symposium in Europe years ago.
I sat for most of the day listening to scientists in Europe saying why it was so difficult to do any work on GMOs in Europe, because every time they got up and talked about it, anti-GMO people, particularly Greenpeace, would come out, they would harass them, they'd interfere with their talk, they were also trying to stop them getting grants. It was just appalling what was happening.
Roberts discovered how effective the anti-GMO movement had become.
I had been asked to go and talk to the European Commission about the future of medicine. Not that I claimed to know very much about what might be going on, but I decided I was going to talk, making the argument that for the people who go to bed hungry at night, food is medicine. And I talked to the European Commission about this, and afterwards, one senator from Italy, a lady, came up to me and she said she'd never heard in Europe what I'd been talking about. And she had been totally anti-GMO. Now she was totally convinced that GMOs were good.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
It's the first official Drive Time Maggie Dawn Show. We kick off the program with Congresswoman Gwen Moore. And stick around. We'll be joined by the CEO of the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Trump administration wants big changes to the Endangered Species Act. The law has long been interpreted as including protections for habitat on the premise that destroying a species' food and shelter harms the species itself. But now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and National Marine Fisheries Service said in a proposed rule that degrading or destroying habitat should not be considered harm. Habitat loss is the single biggest driver of wildlife extinction. State officials say someone illegally shot and killed a bull elk near the city of Black River Falls. The animal was one of the primary breeding bulls in an effort to reestablish populations of elk in central Wisconsin. It was wearing a GPS radio collar and there were trail cameras nearby, but the DNR says it still needs the public's help to find the shooter. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Dozens of foreign students attending universities nationwide are suing to stop their visas from being revoked as the Trump administration terminates their records in an online database. CBS's Nicole Skenga.
Keep in mind, all of this is playing out as the State Department has said it's using AI to comb over social media foreign students to identify threats, including possible connections to Hamas or other terrorist groups.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants to ban 8 food dyes found in things like cereal and sports drinks.
I was talking with my staff about these petroleum-based dyes, and I said if they want to add petroleum, they want to eat petroleum, they ought to add it themselves at home.
Who will succeed Pope Francis? CBS's Seth Doan is in Rome.
Pope Francis really tried to elevate cardinals from different parts of the world, unknown church leaders, and part of that is not knowing how they might vote. So that is the wild card.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey.